Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, and that wonderful song, There's a Better Way, is compliments of the group Love Shatter. So Google them and check out their music. They have lots of wonderful things online. Today we will be talking about belief systems, what they are, how they are formed, whether or not they serve our highest good. Each of us has a set of beliefs that we have formed based on the experiences of our lives. We each have more ingrained beliefs than we are consciously aware of. Some are limiting, some empowering, and some just neutral. We have beliefs in the reason for our existence, including religious and spiritual beliefs. We have beliefs in the reality we perceive. Until we examine this belief, we are likely to expect that everyone's reality is the same as ours, that there is only one way to perceive things. We have beliefs based on old programming instilled in us by our parents, our culture, and the society we live in. We have beliefs based on scientific fact. We have karmic beliefs, beliefs our souls have carried over from past life experiences. And we have beliefs that determine our faith and hope during challenging times, such as illness, trauma, or adversity. According to Esther Hicks Abraham, a belief can be defined as a thought, feeling, emotion loop that we repeat over and over until it becomes automatic and ingrained. So if we gain a belief through the power of repetition, can we change a belief through the same method? Today, my special guest is Dr. John McGrail, author of the book, The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. Dr. McGrail says that individuals living under the burden of limiting beliefs, such as the notion that they are less than, unworthy, victims, or powerless to change their circumstances, are thinking what he calls earth-flat thoughts, creating earth-flat beliefs and defining truths that have no basis in fact. He says that these earth-flat truths create an earth-flat reality, a reality that is often limiting and painful in some way. And we'll have Dr. McGrail explain to us the earth-flat philosophy. John McGrail, Ph.D., is my guest today on A Fine Time for Healing for a second time. I found him so interesting that I have invited him back to share more of his great wisdom with us. Today he will be talking about how we can examine our beliefs and transform our lives. John McGrail has an extensive resume, which includes being a military officer and aviator. John has a Ph.D. in clinical hypnotherapy, but he is more than a clinical hypnotherapist. He is an established self-improvement expert and a sought-after spiritual teacher who has become one of our country's leading media experts and public speakers relating to personal growth and successful life transformation. So now it is my privilege and my honor to introduce you to my friend, John McGrail. Good morning, John.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for being on my show today again. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Thanks for having me back. It's always a delight to chat with you, and this is stuff that we're both passionate about, and if we can help our listeners get a thing or two and make their lives better, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So, John, tell us what the Earth flat reality is and the Earth flat beliefs and all those kind of things. Explain. I mean, I read it in your book, so I understand it, but explain to my listeners what that is.
Sure. Well, you know, going back to what Abraham says, Abraham Hicks, that, you know, beliefs are nothing more than thoughts that we think over and over and over again until they become ingrained and automatic. Really, that is the nature of belief. I mean, they're just thoughts. But the Earth flat thing is kind of a corny metaphor, I suppose, in a way, because so many of us, you know, think about the Earth flat, Earth round thing. But I use it a lot in with my clients, in private sessions, and also in workshops and seminars to just illustrate just how powerful and limiting or expansive beliefs can be. So it's based on the fact that 6,000 years ago or so, pretty much everybody on this planet believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Earth was a flat disk. And beliefs frame or define our perception of truth. So if you believe the Earth is flat, that becomes your truth. And once something, a thought, an idea, a concept becomes true, it then frames the energy of your reality. So these people 6,000 years ago, pretty much everybody on the planet, believed and thought the Earth was flat. It was their truth. And their reality, based on that truth, was very isolated and insular. They were afraid to go too far out to sea. They were afraid to walk to the horizon because they were going to fall off and be eaten by the monsters at the edge of the Earth, et cetera, et cetera. And so they had a very fear-based, if you will, very limiting reality as to what their world was and what they could do. And then someone or some people eventually said, you know, wait a second, let's just take a look at this. And of course, it didn't take very long for scientists and astronomers to prove mathematically that the Earth was round. And once that got out and the people on the planet realized that the Earth wasn't flat anymore, what a new expansive reality they had. We can go out to sea. In fact, the worst thing that's going to happen is we're going to come around the other side, and we can walk to the horizon, and there's just going to be more and more and more of it. And so with a new reality based in fact, they developed a truth based in fact, and of course their reality expanded. So it's a corny metaphor in a way, but that's exactly what happens to us in our lives. We come to believe and feel that certain things are true, and it really limits our potential and our experience. And so basically what I do and what you do and what people that do what we do do, boy, that sounds really corny.
Do-do-do.
Is, you know, someone will come into me, for instance, and they'll say, okay, I don't feel I deserve to be happy. And I'll say, okay, why don't you deserve to be happy? Well, and they will give me a litany of reasons, none of which have any basis in reality. It's just what they think because that's what they learned. And so I will say, okay, show me some proof. I'm going to use Western thinking now. Western science is all about, I'll believe it when I see it. Show me some proof that you are not deserving. Can you do that? And, of course, they cannot. And I say, well, in that case, what you're believing cannot be true. So you are living a flat Earth reality. Now, if what you're believing cannot be true, then what must be true? And, of course, then we start flipping it and have them realize that, of course, they're deserving of being happy. Everyone's deserving of being happy. So, in other words, we change the belief to an Earth round reality. And once you do that, you're on your way.
That's great. You know, I mean, that's so clear to everybody.
It was a bit of a mouthful, and I'm sorry it took so long, but it's a sort of a train of thought that you have to take out to the end. But thank you for that.
No, yeah, no, I don't think it was too long. I think it was really well explained, and I think it's a way that everybody can get exactly what you're saying by using those metaphors. Are any of our beliefs positive for us?
Well, certainly, and hopefully many are. Unfortunately, it has been my experience in particular over the last, well, no, I shouldn't say over the last 10 years, but, you know, we in what I like to call modern technology-driven Western culture, which is, you know, what we live in, have become very, very good at focusing on negativity and insufficiency and lack. And so many people, because we're bombarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by the media, by our friends and family, and we just kind of get into this reality or belief of, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, if I don't have this, I'm not going to, or if I don't get this, I'm not going to be good enough, there's not enough, we're not enough, you know. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people go through life thinking. And if you think it enough, it becomes a belief. And for instance, if you're taught as a child, you know, listen, if you can make $50,000 a year, you're lucky. Consider that good. And if you hear that enough growing up, well, that's going to become your ceiling. That's going to become your sort of level. And I cannot tell you how many clients I've worked with over the years that come in and they say, you know what, I want to make more money. And I say, okay, well, why don't you make more money? Well, I don't know. And every time they get to that level where they're uncomfortable going over, say, $50,000, which is just a figure, they find a way to bring themselves back down. And that's what happens. But can it be flipped? Can we have the belief in unlimited potential? Why not? Is there a limit to happiness? Are we only allowed to be so happy, so abundant, so loving? No. It's unlimited.
No.
We have infinite potential.
Right. And I so relate to what you're saying, because that was the message that I got. And I got the message in my childhood that not to develop myself because my looks would get me everywhere. Well, we know that doesn't work. So, and several other really, really strange things were implanted in my brain. So I had a lot to undo. And it's not easy to undo those beliefs, but we must be willing to take a look at, you know, if the beliefs we have are working in our lives, right?
Right, and of course, then you have to define working. And, you know, your story is so compelling, and you transcended all of those limiting beliefs, if you will, and look at the way you're living today. But, yeah, so many of our beliefs are fear-based as well. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen, you know, and not to denigrate religion in any way, but organized religions are very often about dogma and doctrine, and if you don't do this, then you're going to a bad place. And mm-hmm. That's fear-based, and fear is a very powerful motivator, unfortunately often a negative motivator. But you're right, the potential for encompassing or changing our beliefs, the thoughts we think over and over again that may be holding us back, like, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, or I don't deserve this, or happiness is something for other people, or abundance mm-hmm. is something that other people get. You know, all of it's just thoughts. It's all it really is. And so, yes, it can be changed. Is it hard to change it? Sometimes. And the reason for that is that the human mind has developed and evolved into an instrument that is very resistant to change. We will cling to the familiar with tenacity, even when the familiar is limiting or painful. And that has to be overcome. And that's where, you know, people like you and I come in, who have learned that that doesn't have to be the way. And with some of the methodologies and techniques, for instance, of my synthesis process, we can change that thinking completely. And it doesn't have to take a long time. That's the beauty of it.
Right. Absolutely right. In your book, The Synthesis Effect, you talk about a scientific discipline about getting better when we're sick, and the phenomenon's called psychoneuroimmunology.
Yes.
And so what is that about?
Well, that's a really big word, psychoneuroimmunology, and it's a science that was sort of born in, I want to say, the early 80s. And one of the leading people at the forefront of that was a guy named Norman Cousins. And essentially, what it means, psychoneuroimmunology, is the power of the mind to heal the body. Western medicine, which is miraculous in its ability to preserve and save life, and I am a great proponent of Western medicine because I would not be here had it not been for Western medicine. My heart would have given out a long time ago. But, and what we have forgotten over the last 500 or 600 years while Western medicine was evolving is that, you know, the body is not a machine. We like to treat it that way. We have a circulatory system and a respiratory system and a digestive system. And if a system breaks, we'll go in there and cut it out and put a new one in or fix it. And that works to a certain extent. But what happens with psychoneuroimmunology is it goes back to the concept of the mind and body being inextricably linked. Nothing happens in the body that doesn't go through the mind. It has to be processed by the mind or originated in the mind. So this guy, Norman Cousins, was a writer for the New Yorker magazine, and he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And I don't remember what it was, but it was something very, very nasty. And essentially, his doctor said, look, get your affairs in order because you're done. There's nothing we can do. There is no treatment. You have maybe 6 months if you're lucky, and sorry. And so, you know, this guy was in the prime of his life. He was in his early 50s, and he said, you know, I'm not ready to check out. Sorry, guys. And so he did an experiment because he had nothing to lose. And essentially what Norman did was he locked himself in a hotel room, and he watched funny movies from dawn till dusk all day long every day, laughing as hard as he could, the Three Stooges, all the things that he thought were funny. And he just immersed himself in humor, and I don't remember how long he did it, but for quite a while. Well, the result of that, physically, physiologically, was that, guess what? His disease went away. He cured himself. And so there's this phenomenon that I'm sure many of our listeners have heard about called the placebo effect, and this has been demonstrated over and over and over again, hundreds and thousands of times, whereby in a medical study, a certain group of people will be given the new medicine that's supposed to have a given effect. And then there's what's called a control group, another group of people who are given sugar pills. And the purpose of these studies is to see if the medicine really works. And, you know, some people are getting the medication and another group aren't. And then at the end of a trial, they compare the results. And, of course, all the people have the same condition when they start. No one knows who's getting what except the experimenters. And the placebo effect is phenomenal because very often, in fact, sometimes most often, the group that is simply taking a sugar pill has an equal cure rate. In other words, the effect on the body is based on their belief. They think they're getting a medication that's going to make them well, and they get well. So essentially, that's what psychoneuroimmunology is. It's the study of how the mind-body connection works to preserve health or the opposite way, to degrade our health. If we believe, for instance, that there is no hope, then there is no hope. And so that's sort of the basis of it. And, you know, what scientists are trying to figure out is how it works. But how it works is something that goes back to the ancient cultures of the world, the indigenous primitive people who knew that the mind and body were inextricably linked and lived in much greater energetic balance than we do in today's society and didn't have a lot of the wacky diseases that we suffer from.
That's very true. You know, I wonder if that placebo effect can work in the opposite way or this psychoneuroimmunology. So if we take a medication that is really good for our condition, but we don't believe it's going to work. Would it not work?
It's very possible. It's really an amazing thing to watch when you read the studies and you read about how many people have literally cured themselves of incurable diseases, terminal diseases, simply through the power of thought. In Norman Cousins' case, it was the power of laughter. And if anybody wants to Google this stuff, it's right there. But yes, if you don't believe that you have a chance, your thoughts, our beliefs are so powerful. The energy of belief has an effect on our environment. And, of course, this brings us right back to the concept of the law of attraction, which is a very popular concept now, made popular by people or groups like Abraham Hicks and many others, The Secret, I'm sure many of the listeners out there have either read the book or seen the movie. And the law of attraction is a very simple law, which basically says energy attracts like energy. That which is like unto itself is attracted. And so if your thoughts are based on negativity and fear and gloom and doom, well, that's the energy you put out, and the universe is going to send that energy back. I mean, that's the essence of the law of attraction. And we do know that energy flows along lines of attraction. In fact, we talk about it all the time. Birds of a feather flock together. As ye sow, so shall ye reap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The law of attraction is mentioned something like 225 times in the Bible, which is sort of a very popular book and with popular concepts. So we know it's a physical law. And so, yes, you can be given the greatest medication in the world. If you don't believe it's going to work, then you may just negate its effect, and vice versa.
Right. And it's and negative thinking is a vicious cycle. It's a trap, because you keep fulfilling your own beliefs, and then you can't get out of it because the things that you worry about actually happen to you. So it confirms that your beliefs are true.
Well, your beliefs define your truth, and once your truth is defined, that will frame the energy of your reality. Another way that it's often described is the Pygmalion effect, self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, this is demonstrated over and over and over again. And so many of us in modern society have been programmed, if you will, and I hate to use that word because people don't like it. What do you mean I'm programmed? I have free will. Well, yes, we do have free will, but free will comes from our conscious mind. And if you look at the architecture of the human mind, about 10% of our mind is what we would call conscious and cognitive, the logic, free will, reasoning, and 90% of the human mind is what we would call subconscious or unconscious. And the subconscious mind, we talked a little bit about this in our last show, the subconscious mind is very much like a computer. We are programmed at a very early age with our values, our attitudes, our beliefs, and they become ingrained in the subconscious and therefore automatic, just like programs on a computer, and those patterns will play over and over and over again. And unfortunately, in modern Western culture, and again, it doesn't just mean the West, it means modern technology-driven or technology-based culture, which is much of the world today, we have been programmed and are continually bombarded with negative inputs. Watch TV at night, and watch your favorite show. All those commercials are basically saying, if you don't use our product, there's something wrong with you. You're not enough. You want to be cool, you got to drive this car. You've got to wear this perfume and whatnot. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you watch the news, and I don't know how many people do, what do you hear? All we hear is about what's not working. And that just it generates this energy of fear and insufficiency and gloom and doom. And, you know, you said a magic word, Randy, worry. Worrying is essentially praying for what you don't want. You're just focusing your thoughts and your energy on what you don't want. Well,
the more you
focus on what you don't want, the more you tend to attract what you don't want. And so what we're talking about is flipping that. Because, you know, every coin has two sides. You can think about what you don't want, or you can change your thinking to think about what you do want, what you would like. And if you do that enough, and it takes practice and it takes diligence, it takes free will, you can change those beliefs. And that's essentially what I do with every single client I work with, all my workshop students, is help them realize that they can believe, focus their thoughts on whatever they want. And then I say, now pay attention as you're doing this. Because things are going to start happening in your life, coincidences, if you will, synchronicities. And the next thing I know, they say, wow, I can't believe how well things are working now. Well, all they did was change the way they were thinking.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I did when I was at my very lowest point in my life. I changed everything, changed the way I was thinking, and my whole life changed. It was amazing, amazing. It's like, you know, the life I have today does not resemble that life in any way. So, you know, I definitely believe that. So how does the synthesis effect help those people who would benefit from changing their beliefs?
Well, essentially, the effect is learning to live your life the way you have, and quite frankly, I'm happy to say the way I have, because I, too, was a very unhappy camper at one point in my life. Things were not going well at all, and it was only through changing my thinking and my focus, my energetic focus, that allowed me to create a life that I now love. I mean, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and I, you know, there's always more. No matter what you want, you always want more. No matter what you get, there's, you know, you climb a mountain, you turn around, there's another mountain. That's just sort of the essence of human life, and we're, you know, you never get it done, and you cannot get it wrong. But the synthesis effect is essentially, three parts. I mean, the book was written to first create understanding. Because so many of us, and I can almost guarantee that there are folks out there listening to the show that are really stuck in some area of their life, and if you ask them how they got that way, they wouldn't be able to tell you. And I hear this, you know, when did this start? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been going on as long as I can remember. Well, how did you get here? I mean, no one's born with this feeling that they don't deserve to be happy. We're all born knowing that we can do whatever we want. Well, you know, I really don't know how I got here. It's just this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is to create understanding, to educate, if you will, my readers, my clients, and my students. This is how we end up with these patterns, these limiting beliefs. This is how the mind develops. It's all learned, and this is how it happens. And once they see how it happens, it's pretty simple, they go, oh, I get it. And then the second part of it is to say, okay, well, now that you know how you got here, here are some tools that can help you undo this. Very simple, very powerful tools, methods, techniques, if you will, to change the subconscious programming. You know, the subconscious mind is like a three-year-old child, and like any three-year-old child, it will believe whatever we tell it. And if you tell it something over and over and over again, it becomes ingrained. And essentially what we do is we go into the mind and say to that three-year-old, hey, little girl, hey, little guy, you learned something that really isn't true. You learned 2 + 2 = 5. You learned the earth is flat. How's that working for you? And, of course, the little kid says, it's not working at all, but that's all I know. That's what I've been taught. And essentially we say, well, guess what? Erase that. Try this instead. Try thinking this thought over and over and over and over again, whatever that thought may be, and see how you like it. And like any three-year-old, if you say, hey, Santa Claus is coming, yay, okay. And so that's what the tools do. And the tools are, you know, very simple, the hypnosis, meditation, all the techniques around neuro-linguistic programming, which is a very big word for just understanding how and why we behave. And if you understand how and why something works, it's much easier to fix it. And then we give them a method through which to use the tools, a system, if you will, because we like systems, we like recipes. So you do a little of this, you do a little of this, you do a little of this, you do it every day, and the next thing you know, you're thinking and believing and living differently. And, you know, the beauty of it is you, Randy Fine, are living proof that this works. Me, John McGrail, I am living proof that it works because, you know, I'm happy to share my story to people, and I usually do. I was a very unhappy dude not too many years ago. Well, actually, it's many years ago now. It seems like yesterday. And through this process, I changed my life. And, it's kind of like, okay, if I can do it, maybe other people can do it. That's kind of how I ended up doing what I do today.
That is so wonderful, John. Did you have to reach a bottom? Did you really have to bottom out before you were willing to make those changes?
Yes, but of course there are different levels of bottom. Everybody has their own level. I mean, I wasn't
right
to the point where I was so despondent I was ready to, you know, jump out of a building or anything. And I mean, those folks that get to that level really, really need intensive help right away. But yes, I was at a point where I didn't like myself. I had insecurities that I've been carrying with me since childhood. Again, things you learn that aren't true, but you don't know any better when you're a kid. I was very obsessive and I don't want to say compulsive, but I was really sort of tightly wound and everything had to be just so. And if it wasn't just so, I'd get all wigged out. And I was addicted to tobacco at the time. And I was in a marriage that, you know, just didn't work. Two nice people that never should have gotten together. And so, you know, to say that, you know, my number one rule is life is supposed to be fun. My life wasn't very fun. And so piece by piece, I got to a point where the marriage fell apart and I was kind of looking at myself saying, boy, this really isn't cool. What can I do? And, you know, that was my bottom. Someone said, you got to read this book. And it was a book about spirituality, and I read it, and I went, wow. And it was sort of like someone turned a light bulb on, and that was the beginning of you know, what has been almost a 25-year journey in learning how to live powerfully. And as I mentioned
right.
before, and as you well know, I mean, you've transformed your life. I've transformed my life. I've worked with thousands of people to help them transform their lives. And, you know, it can be something small or something large. But when something is not working, we feel broken. It's the way I like to think of it, you know, you just feel broken. You know there's something deep inside you that says it shouldn't be this way, and I'm not, I feel broken. And whether it's a habit or a limiting belief or, you know, not enough, whatever it is, when you fix it, it feels so right, so natural, because that is our natural state of being. We are naturally supposed to be happy and joyful and loving and creating abundance. That's why we're here.
Excuse me. John, Michelle?
Sure.
Quiet. My sister's here. Okay. Right. I'm sorry. Keep going. I was just talking. Okay. Don't you think that the first step to changing our belief is surrender?
Yes. I think the first step is, I don't necessarily call it surrender, but I say it's like acknowledging that this isn't working. Acknowledgement, like, okay, I am broken. It's not working. There's something wrong here. So I guess you could call it surrender. I don't like the concept of people surrendering to the fact that they can't change their lives, which so many people do. They think, this is it. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm stuck. I'm done. But acknowledgement, yes, you have to acknowledge that you're in the muck, if you will. And that is step one.
Yeah. I mean, for me, surrender was saying, okay, I've micromanaged my life and I've controlled it, and I'm not doing a really good job of it. So I need to let that go. That was my kind of surrender. I have to understand that, you know, I can't do this all myself right now. You know, there's got to be a better way. How do you believe that there is, that we benefit from spiritual beliefs as well, and that there are forces that work in our life when we allow it?
Oh, I more than believe it. I absolutely know it. And the good news there is that in modern scientific technology that studies the nature of energy and matter and the nature of existence, if you will, is essentially proven using Western scientific rigor, you know, which is, I'll believe it when I see it. That's how we think. Now, the native indigenous peoples of the world think exactly the opposite way. They believe in order to see. We have to see in order to believe. But scientists have proven that this energy we call spirit, if you will, actually exists, and that that our thoughts and our feelings have energy, that have an effect on our environment. And so whether we like it or not, the essence of this is, and if anybody wants to learn more about this, just look up a man named Carl, K-A-R-L, Pribram, P-R-I-B-H-A-M. He's a neurophysiologist at Stanford University who's done a lot of research on this. But they have proven, science has proven, that we are spiritual beings. Whether we like it or not, we are. We are this essence, this spirit, living in this physical apparatus we call our body. And our spiritual energy is the biggest part of us. It doesn't feel that way, but it is. And so once we acknowledge that and accept it, and more importantly, develop it and start changing our thinking and acknowledging that we are the creators of our own reality, we are the creators of a flat earth or a round earth, it's up to us, that's when the stream of energy starts to really flow rapidly, as Abraham likes to say, you know, and your stream can really turn into a torrent, a raging river of creation and growth and happiness and joy and abundance. It's all about balancing energy, balancing and integrating the physical, the emotional, and our spiritual energy. And once you do that, it's unbelievable how well life begins to work. It's unbelievable. Well, you know it, and I know it, and hopefully a lot of the folks out there that are listening to us today are going to know it or are knowing it. And, you know, that's how we evolve.
Right. So, you know, and the reason that I brought that up is because when we talk about changing our beliefs, part of that sounds almost like a mechanism, but we can't really change any of those things until we really allow the forces of the universe and spirit to do what they want to do in our lives. So it's really a combination of letting go and also transforming our own, you know, through our own tools or the tools that you recommend.
Right. And of course, you know, the tools that I recommend are tools and techniques that have been in existence since the dawn of modern humanity. There's nothing new in any of this. But, you know, you made a great point, Randy. What a lot of us don't remember is that we are all born completely in love with ourselves and anyone that wants to give us that beautiful, unconditional love. We don't know about conditional love when we're very young. And we are born with perfectly formed and vastly abundant self-esteem. When we're very little and very young, and just look at any young child. I have an adopted daughter that has an eight-month-old, and this child is the most beautiful, wonderful creature you could. I mean, she's just full of joy. That's how we're all born. We all come into life that way, knowing we're perfect little beings, knowing there's no such thing as failure. There's learning, and we may not get everything right every time we attempt it, but, you know, if we try to stand up and walk, for instance, and we fall on our little butts, we just get right back up with a smile on our face, and we keep going at it until we get it, and then when we get it, we're just delighted. That's how we're all born. All this negativity, these limiting thoughts, beliefs, are learned. And the beauty is that once you learn something, it doesn't mean it has to be that way forever. I mean, just imagine, had we not learned the earth was round, we'd still all be living in this very, you know, limiting, fearful reality of going too far out, going too far anywhere, expanding. So, yeah, absolutely. We all have the ability to get back to our roots. I believe that the energy that we are born with is incredibly expansive, potential for creating whatever we want. It just gets buried. It's kind of like a treasure. You live in Florida. You know about all the gold and silver off the coast of Florida. The Spanish, you know, the ships sink, and millions of dollars of gold and silver fall down to the bottom of the ocean. And over several hundred years, tides and time just cover the treasure with muck. But the treasure's down there. And once we go down there and uncover it and bring it up to the surface, we can enjoy the bounty of it. Well, it's the same thing with human potential. We all have the potential to reconnect or relearn or uncover unconditional love for ourselves, our spiritual energy, which is our essence, whether we like it or not. You have a soul. You are a soul in a body. And once we do that and start nurturing that energy, well, you're off to the races.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, gosh. Is there anything you want to tell us, John, that we haven't covered as we come close to the end of the show?
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess the one thing that is always so very, very important to me is that if whoever's out there listening, hear this, if nothing else. You have everything you need within you to create whatever you wish to create. It doesn't feel that way for a lot of us, and I can remember when it sure didn't feel that way for me. You think you're stuck in your stuff. You think there's no way out. There is always a way out, and you have what you need. It's buried, maybe, and it may be buried very deeply, but it's there. And the help and the tools to uncover that treasure, that love, that honor, that respect for yourself, and that ability to create whatever you want, the tools are out there, the help is out there, and all you have to do is reach out and be willing to do the work. It's not magic. There is effort involved, but if you're willing to commit mm-hmm. to yourself and do the work, you can bring that treasure back to the surface and then enjoy the bounty of it all. Everybody can do that, I promise.
That's great. That's a great way to, you know, to really end the show, and great advice to give everybody. You know, I mean, I always say, you know, there's always hope in any situation. There's always hope that tomorrow is a brighter day. So there's, you know, there's different ways to look at it. But yes, I love the way you said that, because those of us that have defeatist attitudes and think that we really are stuck. I mean, everybody gets stuck sometimes, and but yet you never really are. There's always something's always coming down the pike, you know. And you know, I've heard that the past, present, and future are really all happening at the same time. So the things that we want really have already happened, and they're kind of out there waiting to happen, you know, in our present life. So yeah. Getting into a whole philosophy here.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other hour. We could talk about that. I mean, the whole nature of time, matter, and space is—it's so wacky and hard to understand in a way. But essentially, if we just remember this, we are all made of universal energy. We are nothing more than energy, and we can manifest and focus our energy any way we want to, negatively or positively, with hope and faith. Which is even more powerful than anything. You know, as I said, the ancient cultures of the world believe in order to see. They knew that the way they focused their thoughts and actions and choices would have a huge effect on the reality they manifested. We do create our own reality. And ironically and wonderfully, Western science, modern science, is now proving that the way the native peoples of the world thought, the primitive cultures, if you will, is actually the way the world works. And so that's the whole concept of focusing on what you want. The more you do, the more you get what you want. The more you focus on what you don't want, the more of that you get.
It's fantastic. It is so fantastic. I just love talking about this stuff. So positive and so empowering for everyone. I am running down to the last couple of minutes of the show, and so as much as I don't want to, I have to say goodbye to you.
Oh, no.
but I want to thank you again, John, and we have more discussions to come, so we'll do this again.
Oh, anytime, Randy. I so love working with you, and your message and your example is so powerful for folks. So, you know, I'm sure the people that listen to your show know about you, but I love to blast it out to my network, too, to check out your website and your story, because you're living proof that what we're talking about works, and that's marvelous. In fact, a lot of clients, I'll say, you go check out this gal, Randy Fine. Look what she did, and if she could do what she did, then tell me that you can't do what you want to do. So let's get to work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's so wonderful to hear. Thank you for referring people my way. Oh, yeah, I love to share my story, because it is it does really tell you how strong the power of the human spirit can be and how much we can just turn it all around. So anyway, well, without us getting cut off, I'm going to say goodbye, and I'll be in touch with you, okay? So thanks again.
Thank you so much, Randy.
Okay. So we are out of time, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, please contact me at It's loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And Randy is always spelled RandyGFine.com. My website is also RandyGFine.com, RandyGFine.com. And I have tons of articles on there. There's connections and links to every show I do. There's just about anything that you could want. If you want to be inspired, just go there and check it out. So thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
But we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be there's a better way.